He fouled me. Just those three words. They're loaded, aren't they? You've seen the movie? A good number of you raised your hand. He fouled me. What are you so mad at, son? This morning we're diving in. This country is going nuts with conflict. It's all over the place. Tough news this week. Horrific news. Let's just be honest. And as we focus on healing, putting something back together again, I can firmly stand on the promises of God that the church will continue. The church of God will rise. The faithfulness of his believers will stay faithful. Sin will not prevail in the end. God wins. This is tragic stuff. Conflict is huge. And I sit back and say, it just seems to me, that it's right in front of us often, all the time. I mean, we're out here on Catalina, right? This is supposed to be a tourism environment, maybe even a touristy church, right? No. We are dealing with life issues. People come out here as an escape. I realize that. Escape from what? And a lot of times they move out here and just bring that with them. They bring the conflicts right there with them. There's no escape. It's just a more beautiful place to deal with conflict. He fouled me. Son, whoa. We have a bigger picture going on. This is a race. Where is this coming from? Why are you so angry? I took my phone this week. How many of you have a smartphone? Raise your hand. Raise your phone, actually. I know you got it with you. All right, turn it off of airplane mode, because I know you had it on airplane mode to begin with. Great. Turn it off airplane mode. You got permission. This is one time. If I ever do this again, I'll be amazed. Go ahead. Siri, can't we all just get along? Ready? One, two, three, go. I don't want to know. Nice. Anyone else? I got this. I got, that may be beyond my abilities at the moment. That's actually scriptural. Yeah, don't touch the thermostat. It's sacred. Yeah, when it comes down to, can't we all just get along? It'll be interesting to hear what Siri has to say about it. Sometimes that's fun to do. But the truth of the matter is, you know, you want to look at your friend, just go, can't we just get along? Sometimes it's above my abilities at the moment. I love that answer. Paul says, you know, if it be at all possible, be at peace. Meaning there may just be some really rough edges there, and it may take a while longer. It may not happen at all. Let's dive in. And I mean right now, I want to get into this. If you're looking at your notes, and hopefully Michael hooked you up with a set of notes. We have more if you need some and didn't get them. You came in late here. You'll see it's a very simple outline. I'm not beating around the bush this morning. We don't need to make this rocket science. I deal with this. My personal journal and painful moments have been entered into this as much as anybody's. I am coming clean. I struggle with this as much as anyone. First part, we're going to talk about some big picture truths. And no problem, we'll just zip right through those. Big picture truths are fun. That was the easy part. Where my journal came in and some of my stuff came in and maybe the way I talked to my wife came in at times, that was the hard part. And that's the second part. Hopefully there will be some good ideas in there for you, some wisdom in handling relational conflict. The church is not out from under this one. Let's jump into the truths. The first one is this. We've kind of already talked about this leading into this, but here it is. Conflict is a reality. Just write that in. It's a reality. Let's just start there. It's early. It's Sunday morning. Some of us are still in the fog. So we need to break into reality this morning. That's what it is. It's going to happen. I guarantee it. I don't have to convince you of this. You've experienced it yourself. But one thing I want to point out is I love the Bible. I love the Bible. Do you love the Bible? The Word of God. I love the Bible because it's so real and it's so honest. Now, if I were to ask you, do you love the Bible? Everyone, yeah, love the Bible. And then you get one of those verses, like a zinger. You're like, yeah, I love the Bible. It just knows right where to go. You're going to hear from it this morning. Paints a picture of real humans who have lots of real problems. Right now, the men's group that we have that meets on Monday nights is going through an incredible study. It's called Beautiful Outlaw. The book is here behind me, and it, all it is it's pulling Scripture out of the humanity of Jesus. The reality that Jesus was fully God, yes, but He was also fully man. And when He walked here and He walked there, 60 miles here, 40 miles there, how would you feel walking 60 miles? And then 1,000 people jump all over you for needs and needy, high-maintenance situations. Jesus navigated relationships in such a way that Scripture pulls this out. And if it's read correctly and you pause and look at it, it's beautiful. It's not about the author here. The author is writing about the author and finisher of our faith, saying He knows relationships can get sticky. They can get muddy. He hung out with guys and their deals were all over Scripture, especially the Gospels, what they brought to the table. It's a conflict. Lots of problems. Acts 15, in the same chapter, a guy named Paul, two different conflicts with different people. And the fact is, in the early church, there were so many conflicts that they had to deal with. Actually, it spells out that there were conflicts with non-Christians as much as there were conflict with Christians, amongst Christians. And I wish that when you've been, there was no longer any conflict. That would be awesome if that were true. But that's a fairy tale, my friends. It is. Even this morning may have been rough. Even believers, as a Christian, you still have to, the seed of selfishness is still there. It came out in my notes this week. Inside, those things can express itself simply at times just by hurting others. First person you can get your hands on, or your words can get into the heart of. Think about the last conflict you had. Maybe it was today. Maybe it was on your way over to church. Maybe it was yesterday or earlier in the week. But you can think about this conflict, and you know these things are going to happen. If you can't think of one right now, you're actually saying, I can't think of having a conflict with somebody. You're probably one to really want to listen to this message. Something's probably going to happen this week, okay? And it's just impossible to be human and to talk to other people and have relationships without some kind of conflict. I know you know this. I know you know this. But if you're a teacher and you see your students have it, don't think that teachers don't have it. Administrators don't have it. Church leaders don't have it. Just be careful. I want to go into that right off the bat. It's a reality everywhere we go, including the church. Number two, most relationships don't survive it. Most don't, okay? This is really sad to me, and it actually bothers me a lot. If you were to step back and think about the relationships around you, not just your friends, okay, but the friends that you see, and if you were to survey those relationships, you see it's kind of sad. A lot of people start off maybe with a really great relationship. My wife is celebrating a birthday this weekend. We're all excited. You know, relationships that have mattered to her or have meant something to her, and we've talked about names that are on her short list of people that have meant something of great value to her. Those have all had a little conflict in the past, and they survived, and the relationship grew stronger. We're going there, all right? But right now, just know most don't survive. They don't choose to push through. There's this bump in the road, and all of a sudden it's done. Or maybe there's a little bit of conflict, and they don't end the friendship, but instead they settle for something less, like, hey, you know, or on the sidewalk or in Vons or whatever it looks like. It's this bizarre shop talk. See that Dodgers game the other night? See that Chargers game the other night? Who cares? What you really need to be talking about is, did you get my email last week? I'm so sorry. Can we talk about it? I mean, hopefully it was taken correctly. If not, let's have coffee. I don't want to end this. And I don't want the relationship to be less than what it should be. In other words, it takes steps back. They settle for a superficial thing, something that lacks depth, or even worse, intimacy. And we're going there. If this is true, that most relationships don't survive, then guess what? Flip it over. Conflict can strengthen relationships. Number three, it can. When it's handled well. Very positive. Really can. If you were to ask somebody, maybe a neighbor, friend, and for young people in this room, maybe it's a parent, who's, you know, maybe a 5 or 10, 15 year, 30 year friendship, and you were to look at them and ask, what makes this so special? What makes that friendship so rich, so great? They're going to say something along the lines of, we've been through so much together. Man, remember back when we used to go at it all the time? They have this history, and conflict is a part of it. Believe it or not, there's just something about conflict, believe it or not, that brings people together, hopefully for the right reasons. That's not the point, though, but the truth is conflict, if it's handled well, can really make a friendship strong. And I think about this, why is this true? And I did a lot of thinking about this. I did a lot of thinking and journaling about this. And for the last 4 years, just taking a look at some highlights and some lowlights of things that were going down in my life. Usually when I get into some kind of a disagreement or a fight or something, conflict, butt heads, there's something true about what I want to say. There's something in the conflict that is actually honest. And it's been said, and it's what was said was accurate. They really did do it, okay? If you can work through that, even the truth hurts, you know, even though the truth hurts, even though it bothers you that that's the way they think or whatever the issue is, there's just something about knowing the truth. The truth plays a huge part in this. Something about pushing through that honesty makes a friendship, okay? I don't feel it right now with you because of the way you're saying it, but what you have to say, yeah, you're right. You are right. But I don't like the way you're talking to me right now. Anyone relate to that at all? Okay. Yeah. And some of these are like, yeah. Okay. Others are like, yeah, I relate to it. It short circuits things a little bit, but it can make the relationship go stronger. Number four, if it's unresolved conflict, that can short circuit spiritual life. That's a dangerous one. Unresolved, something that is just left open. Yeah. And I've talked to a lot of people who are doing all these Christian things. And I love it because they're here. They go to small group. They understand prayer. Some of them may even be in a teaching component. But they still say, I feel a little flatlined. I'm still not growing in my faith. What's happening? Where is God? We'll talk and have conversations and see what's happening and what it is. And they're living in conflict. They haven't resolved conflict. There's something that's just still there. They're still wounded by something with another friend and in a relationship. And guess what? No matter how far away from God you think that that person may be that you have a conflict with, it short circuits our relationship with God. And I know what you're thinking. This ties into forgiveness. And if you forgive them, the way that you forgive them, the way your Heavenly Father is going to forgive you, I understand that, and that is true, and that is what is definitive about all of this, no doubt. I'm just talking about the relationship struggling here is going to cause you to have a relationship struggling here. Clear it. We're going to get into the clarity that happens when God says, I want you to push through something. Satan is not always the one bringing things to the surface. Amen? God is in control of you. He is the one, a lot of times, behind the scenes, wanting to refine our hearts. Not everything is satanic. God is moving. He's doing things inside you. And I'm sure that one of these four things that I mentioned here, I told you I was going to go quickly. I don't think any of these things are surprising to you or shocking. Some of you still haven't taken notes yet. You're like, got it. Okay, that, yep, got that one too. Three and four, got it. Great. Okay. But I thought it would be important to cover some of these basics because we're jumping into the next section. And hopefully there's some good ideas. And I title them, you know, some wisdom for navigating conflicts. Just looking at Jesus. Romans 12 says this way, and I've been looking at this verse. I love the way it starts off. It's very simple. Do not repay evil for evil. Okay? This isn't a tennis match. They don't serve to you, and you put one down the line there. That's hot and heavy. It's not repaying evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, Paul says, I'd like for you to live at peace with everyone. Verse 18 absolutely floors me, congregation. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Think about that for a second, okay? Think about everybody you know. And boy, has this been a rough week for many people on this island. Not only those directly affected by some hard news, but indirectly affected that are close friends of the ones that got the hard news. This is hard. And this hits home. Everybody I know that's a close friend, I want you to think for a minute. Everyone you know, everybody that's family, everybody you know, okay, whoever it is, imagine what your life would look like if you tried to live at peace with everybody as much as you could. Some of you are about to fall over right now. It's kind of the theme for the next part of this message. How do we do this? Okay? This young lady is very profound. She has some practical ideas here. And she's actually being filmed in a building such as this. Listen to what she's talking about here when it comes down to making peace a reality. And look
sometimes
at it.
I think we let our differences or our different opinions or views on something kind of tear us apart. And we get cliquish and we kind of divide off and separate when really we should be bonded together in unity. We have to remember that no matter how different we are from each other, we also have that same common ground of we're bonded together through Christ. We are the body of Christ, and that makes us a family. And just like any real family, you know, families, we all have conflict with each other. Sometimes we fight, we disagree, but at the end of the day, you're still family. And so we need to find a way to come together despite differences and just love each other the way that Christ loves. And through doing that, we can form bonds and a real family relationship with each other, which is what the church should be like. You know, just because you have a problem with somebody doesn't mean that you can just, like, toss them to the side. Christ doesn't do that with us. And so when we have an issue with someone else, we need to approach that person in a way that is Christ-like and with love, but still, you know, bringing truth to them. Sometimes I think we let...
Good. In fact, she said it right there, and it seems very profound, but it starts on the inside, recognizing that God wants to do something good. He doesn't want me to feel this way, and he doesn't want this between the two of us. So the right thing to do is to see, what could God be up to here? So focusing on the inside, the key word here is humility. And that's just like taking a shot to the face as much as it is 3 ibuprofen, okay? It's going to reduce the swelling of the pain, and it's also going to go ahead and help you breathe a little easier, although that's not something you want to get used to with ibuprofen, but it is with humility, okay? You want it to reduce the pain, add some humility. The Bible makes it clear that there's a connection between what's on the inside and what is expressed on the outside. That's what this young lady's saying. Very simple. And I love the illustrations going on. People hugging each other, teenagers, different races coming together. A unifying look to this. There's got to be I'm going to agree with God as much as, more than, I'm going to agree with what I really want to do inside right now. So I'm going to put myself aside. I'm going to look on the inside. I'm going to start with humility. The Bible makes it very clear in Matthew 12, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Can you read that with me? Okay. 1, 2, 3. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Thank you. The good man brings good things out of the good stored in him. The evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. Thought about this. Years ago, I was in a college soccer match with a school. We needed this win. And to make a long story short, I was pumped. I was I was ready. I went to bed the night before. I was hydrated. I got our guys going. And I walked out on the field, and I took 16 shots on goal in the first half, and I was 0 for 16. I mean, I couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. I was pumped, but it just wasn't flowing. And I had a guy behind me. His name was Tony. Guy ended up in my wedding. I have no idea how, but he's behind me in my wedding playing a sweeper. And I turned around, and every time I missed a shot, I'd be like, what? You know? Just laid into him. He's like, what the heck was that? I'm like, shut up, you know? All of a sudden, my frustration was now it's Tony's fault. I was the one that couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. Halftime came. You do not want to be around our coach at halftime like this. And he's like, bro, you need to go sit under a tree for a while. Let it go, man. Hey, it's soccer. I love that about my coach. It was, you know, it's almost like, here's a Capri Sun, you know, and just go relax or whatever. I was like, we got to have this coach, this intensity. He's like, whoa, almost like our little Sea Biscuit there. Why are you so angry, son? Where's all this coming from? He spoke right into it, reminded me that this isn't about you. If we win today, we don't win as a result of you. And if we lose today, same thing. Humility. It was painful at the moment. But I had stored up some stuff in my heart that said, I've got to perform. I've got to do this. Borderline, it is up to me. Look what the verse says here. Evil man brings evil things out of evil stored up in him. I didn't need that pride. And doggone it, Tony didn't either. And our coach put an end to that. And I played a heck of a second half. My shoulders came down. And this load came off my back. I don't know where it came from. I'd talked myself into this. The point was it needed to go. I'm trying to put it all together. I'm trying to be civil about it. And I feel better about it. Well, guess what? That wasn't enough. I had to apologize to Tony. I don't care if he is a dork. I had to go back and tell him, hey, listen, I was the one that couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. And you know what? It's not your fault. And I lit up the situation. And you drive me nuts most of the time. But this game was out of control first half. Tony, I'm sorry. And he's like, yeah, it's all right. You know, I kind of blew it off. I had another step to take. And the coach realized that. Humility plays a huge role in how you handle your conflicts. In fact, there's nothing else that impacts conflicts more than humility. You all catch that? If you want that direct sword, that thing that goes in to cut this in half, humility is what we're looking for. If you can get your arms around this, what it means to be humble, what it means to look on the inside, you're going to be ready and well ready to handle your conflicts. Great verse. Philippians says, finally, brothers, whatever's true, whatever's noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, do me a favor. Think on these things. Think on such things. What did I put that in there for? It doesn't say the word conflict. So how does that relate to conflict? The point is this. The person that's thinking about these things that are true and noble and right and pure and lovely, like a person who's focused on these things, isn't going to get into too many conflicts. It just isn't going to flow. They're not worried about what's happening around them. They're focused on what? The right things. You ever met someone that's just constantly focused on conflict? Ran into somebody in the last 24 hours like that. I get within 5 feet, and this wet blanket transferal thing goes on. And I know some hard news hit our island in the last 72 hours. Hard news. Close friends. This person was not directly involved in any of that, but they were the caretaker of that vital information. And I mean, it just wasn't true. It wasn't noble. It wasn't lovely and admirable and reputable and of good report. It was awful. All of a sudden, I felt it down here, like some of you are feeling it right now. Regardless of the truth of the information, the filter was not someone I needed to be around. Person is focused on conflict, not, you know, I focused on the right thing. I've got a handle on something other than humility. They're looking for problems, looking for trouble. I knew that was going to happen. You ever hung out with somebody like that? I told you guys it was going to happen. Oh, geez. Number two, the next idea I put on there is self-control. I hate putting this on there because I'm not great at this, but what I mean by self-control is impulsiveness kills reconciliation. Unless you have a good impulsiveness. The kind I'm talking about, James says this, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be what? Yeah, I wouldn't say it too boldly either. Quick to listen. Slow to speak. Slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. We could just end this message right here. Those are some great action steps. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. If you just do these three things, you're going to be fine in regards to conflict experiences in your life. Check out this lady. Just went through a drive-thru, turned her phone on immediately after going through the drive-thru. I wouldn't say everything here is philosophically what I believe, but I love the fact that she's just venting, and throughout the course of this conversation, she kind of comes up with what she needs to do. All right? And this is totally me right here. All right? Watch this.
So yesterday, I was at a drive-thru, and Chloe dropped her Mickey Mouse or something and was having a nervous breakdown. So I was leaning down trying to find it so that I could silence her. And apparently, the person in front of me in the drive-thru had proceeded upward. Forward. Not upward. That'd be weird. You just, like, took off flying. Anyway, all of a sudden, the lady behind me acts as if I have ruined her life completely. She started slamming on her horn and, like, throwing her hands up. And I was, like, looking, and she is, like, mad, like, foaming at the mouth. You know what I did? I got out of the car, and I punched her in her throat. I'm just kidding. I didn't do that. I wanted to for a split second, but I didn't. I actually, I pulled up, and I proceeded to pay for that woman's coffee. Because here's my thought process, okay? She's going through something this morning. And if I would have tried to get out of the car and give her a hug, it would have been super awkward. So I just bought her a coffee and I left. Life is really short. I don't know if it's because I tried to end my own life at one point or because both my parents passed away or what, but I'm constantly, constantly thinking about how short life is. Here's the thing. We have no idea what other people are going through. Like when people, strangers I don't know, are rude to me or cut me off or don't say thank you when I hold the door open, I don't take that personally. I just remind myself that they are going through something that I know nothing about. They could possibly be leaving a loved one's funeral on their way to visit the divorce attorney. They could be in the middle of a custody battle. They could have had the mourning from H.E. double hockey sticks. And so instead of retaliating in an attempt to get some kind of justice, I try to be as kind as I possibly can because it's those people, the people that are grumpy and harboring resentment and angry, those people need love the most. Those people who are often the hardest to love need love the most. So I encourage you today to not let other people get to you and just remind yourself that they are fighting an invisible battle that we know nothing about. So just be kind. Let's just get some love going in the universe today. I feel like that's what I'm feeling. I'm feeling it right now. I feel like we all, you know, if we all do a little something kind for somebody else today, there could be a big shift in the energy level of the planet. And I think it'll be really cool. Anyway, I love you. Okay, bye.
Isn't that great? It's just like we just took this exit ramp, and it was so beautiful, this rest area, because she didn't punch her in the throat. I call her, oh, did you do that? And she says, no, I didn't do that, but I felt that way. Love it. That kind of impulsiveness, good stuff. I just totally reacted differently than I thought I should, and I bought her a coffee. And instantly, what was energy going over here towards something negative pulled away and applied over here. There was restoration right off the bat for her heart. It was automatic. It did not take 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes or whatever, like a salve. Okay? This was automatic. I pulled it from here and I gave it to here. And I just thought of her differently. You know, I was doing this message and putting it together, and I was being honest with God. I was thinking about the one thing I said to Shelley, my wife, that I regret more than anything else. Before you start sitting on the end of your seat, I've been married to her a long time, okay? We're sitting at 27 years, and I love to deal with conflict and all the stuff, but I remember one time, and we were on our way to church, and a spiritual couple driving to church, okay? And we were arguing about something. I don't even remember what we were arguing about, but it was inconsequential. I don't even remember what we were talking about. It was stupid, probably. I remember we were just about to turn into the parking lot, and I was frustrated, and I remember I said to her these words, "You're so selfish." That's probably the worst thing I ever said to her. I totally regret it. The only reason why I said it was because I knew it was going to hurt her. I said it. It was impulsive. I just threw it out there. It's like, if you know Shelley, it is the opposite of who she is. She's not even close to selfish in any way. I was so opposite of what she was. But it was one of those things where I just had no self-control. I was like, I'm just going to throw this one out there. One of those things, we were having a conflict, and I just went way off course. I didn't exit. This lady exited. I needed her rest stop. I stayed right on that road, and I lost control. A lot of times, even just being silent, our silence will make up conflicts and help them go a little bit better. But I lost it. And most of the time, if you just shut up and keep it to yourself, that's what you need to do, okay? Not always. We're going to get into that. But in that situation, I blew it. And the next idea I put in here just follows this. Because, man, as we celebrate her birthday and we're in the middle of that, I realize there is a ton of this that's needed. Gentleness. Okay? And sometimes I don't do well with this. In other words, it really doesn't resonate with me very well and who I am. What I meant by that is I choose words. Sometimes I choose words that have the best chance of being heard. And in this case, that was not a good choice of words. So I'm going to go ahead with what we read earlier in Philippians. And let's use those words. Those things that are true and noble and lovely and reputable and admirable and of good report. Let's use those. The best chance of being heard. The proverb, and you can read this one twice a week along with myself. An offended brother is more unyielding than a fortified city. And disputes are like the barred gates of a citadel. The thing is this, if you're in a conflict with somebody, a parent, a close friend, a teacher, a co-worker, okay, and you're going to have to say something, and that's what conflict is, you can't just sit there and be totally, utterly silent sometimes. There is something that's needed to be said. What I said earlier needed silence at that moment for what I was about to say, and did say, and shouldn't have said, but in this situation, there is some gentleness, but truth that needs to be said. You need to call it out. You need to prove your point. You definitely need to say what's bothering you. You need to get it off your chest. Amen? I'm not talking about being silent in those situations, because you just extend the conflict if you're not going to open up. But here's where gentleness kicks in. All right? You need to say what you want to say in a way that's going to be heard. Being sarcastic, being condescending, attacking somebody and yelling, these are great ways to prove your point. Your goal isn't to be right, though. If you're entering a conflict, your job isn't like, how can I be right and win? It's not what the conflict is about. It's not resolving it. Relational conflict is, how can I communicate my side in a way that's gentle, in a way that's going to be received? Okay? Stanley spoke on this one like 15 years ago at a camp I was at. This one little topic here, he talked about conflict. He was saying, I'm not getting my way. I'm not getting my way. It's usually behind the word selfishness. Why am I selfish? Because I'm not getting my way. And if you want to break through to someone's thinking that's in that situation, I'm not getting my way, I want what I want. You have to understand There is an easy button to touch that off, real easy. And there is a button that's not so easy, and it's gentle. And there are ways to get your point across, but if you hit this one, you're never going to get your point across. You're never going to be heard. And it's gentle. Jesus navigated these things. In fact, sometimes even gentle words tick people off even more. He had much to say, and how he said it is everything. He probably shouldn't shout. Sometimes shouting does work. In my house, we'd have a Bible study going on. I remember we had a dinner thing attached to it, and cars would show up from everywhere and park all over the neighborhood. They'd be everywhere, and I had this guy, his name was James, and he came over one day and walked right in the house and just like, "Can I talk to you? This is unbelievable. Look at all these cars out here. I mean, we like to park in front of our house. What's going on with all these cars around here?" I said, "James, can we talk for a minute, like outside the house, away from here?" He's like, "No, what's up with all these cars? Where am I supposed to park? Where's my wife supposed to park, Andrew?" I said, "Your driveway? It's a three-car driveway. You only have two cars." A little sarcasm there didn't help. He was just going, "Ah, what? Hey, I don't get it." I go, I just said to him, "I'm glad you're angry. I'm glad you're yelling at me. It's been 2 years, James." You know what he said? He goes, "Well, I am angry. And I just want to say thank you very much. You're handling this very well." And then a minute later, he's talking about he and his wife, how they can sing Amazing Grace and would love to sing at the church. And there was, it was just bizarre. I chose to say it a little louder right back to him. "Glad you're yelling at me. It's been 2 years." All of a sudden, he's like, "Yeah. Well, thank you for listening." I don't know, but it caught him a little bit. It was awkward. They didn't make any sense. It didn't. I put that in here because I won't ever forget that. James and I were like this. We're neighbors. He wanted in that house is what he wanted. He wanted in the dinner. He wanted an invite to whatever was going on. "Why are you so angry, James? What are you so mad at, son? He fouled me. There's cars everywhere. There's energy in the neighborhood. And I don't feel invited." There's something deeper with James. My point is, I come back inside. And I come back inside the way that Jesus said, speak, be cautious, be gentle, say you're mine. And I talk with you guys all the time in here. Some in here have conflicts. How are you communicating with people? How are you communicating with folks in your community? Are you coming in and just letting them have it? Are you coming in just shouting and all this bombastic, negative, sarcastic junk? Or are you listening to what they have to say? There's some basic skills when it comes to dealing with conflict. You can just, it goes so far. I'll throw one at you. Okay? And the fourth I've got here, hopefully some good thoughts to challenge you a bit, is integrity. You got to own up to your own mistakes. "James, I'm sorry they parked everywhere, but they're not parked illegally, are they? They're just all over the street. It's not like they're illegally parked. But I'm sorry if you didn't get an invite to this. I'm sorry. You're invited. I'm sorry. I made a mistake." The bottom line is, if you make a mistake, you got to own up to it. That's it. You got to be responsible. You got to say, "What can I do to make this right?" Jesus was serious about this. And you may have read this verse before. Jesus said, if you're having conflicts with somebody else, okay, and I'm going to say it from this pulpit this morning, you literally should put a pause to your worship of God and go make that conflict right. Then come back. If you're worshiping God and you're thinking about a person who is really angry with you, Jesus said you should stop and go make it right. Matthew 5. Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar and you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift. Leave it in the front of the altar. Go. Be reconciled to your brother. Then come. Then come, okay? And offer your gift. That's a radical statement there. It's even radical to stop and think about doing that. The front of the altar. You made it all the way up there with the gift. Don't even. go do this. Go take it right. Make it happen. In a world where it's really easy to shuck responsibilities and say it really wasn't my fault, we really need to stand up, have some integrity to own our mistakes. I've had to. And this next point totally fits, because here's where it follows. If you do that, guess what? Forgiveness. Toby Mac is a great song. Forgiveness is just said over and over in the song. It feels so good to hear that word. You need to ask for it and offer it. Jesus says, even if somebody wrongs you 7 times a day and each time returns again and asks forgiveness, forgive them. If you're a Christian, you have no option. You really need to learn how to forgive other people. It's very difficult. When somebody does something to hurt you, you don't just forgive them once. Okay? It's saying several times here, you forgive them. If the next day it comes up again, you've got to forgive them. The truth is, you will never have to forgive somebody else more than God, okay, turns around and has forgiven you. Great scripture. And so if you think about that, that makes it a little easier for you to forgive people. Second thing here is where we sit for a second and says you got to ask for it too. That's an important part. It's, you know, you can buy this car, but if you don't look under the hood, you never know what you're really getting here, okay? I can forgive someone here, but I think I need to go a step further, because there's more to me just forgiving them. I need to ask for forgiveness myself. That's what gets this car rolling. That's where the real value is in this whole deal, is I need to open this up and come clean. I need to own up to my mistakes. It means I have to ask others. And if you're wrong, you need to admit it, say I'm sorry. And if a person is humble, if you got this humility thing down we talked about, then asking for forgiveness, it's not too tough. It's easy. If you're a humble person, asking for forgiveness, it comes natural. It's not very difficult. You can see these are all connected together. And it's a massive piece to the puzzle. It will be easy when you approach this with humility, okay? I'm not really giving you a step or a process that if you do all these, all your conflicts are going to be perfect, but I'm trying to give you a few things to think about. We'll talk about that in a second after we do this last. And my final thought is this, and I'm finished here, reflection. Yeah. What is God doing in your life? Okay? I want you to think about that for just a second. What is God doing in your life? And you ought to become great at asking yourself this question. What is God doing in my life? Let's say it together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. What is God doing in my life? Okay? What's he doing? How's he stirring? What's he up to? You're going to make a lot of mistakes. If you're like me, you're going to make a million mistakes. You'll make a million mistakes with your conflicts. Maybe you had one today. Maybe it didn't go well. Maybe you're thinking about it right now. The point is, can you even stop and think about it? Can you get to that point? God wants to do great things in your life. He is going to stop if you stop and listen. He'll exit. Take the exit. He'll meet you in the rest area. It's all about the rest area. If you keep moving, keep plowing, you're just making this thing bigger. Pause with God and say, what are you doing in my life? What do you want to do in my life? You ever stop and think about it? You ask yourself what's going on the inside? Doggone it, should I have said something different? Was I at fault? Did I say it with sarcasm? What about the other person? What would I have liked them to do? Do you stop and look at it? Do you reflect and consider what's happened? Paul turns around. He says, for God's working in you. He's the one giving you the desire to obey him and the power to do what pleases him. God wants to teach us some stuff. So why learn the same lesson over and over and over again? If you're going through a painful conflict, and maybe some of you are in the midst of a really, really bad one right now. It's painful, okay? But why not just take everything that you can from that? Absorb it. Why not learn as much as you can from that? Try to, you know, figure out this is what it takes for me to become a little better at handling this. Psalm says, in your anger, don't sin. When you're on your beds, search your hearts. Be silent. Conflict isn't easy. That's why we call it conflict. Doesn't matter if I had these steps, these points, these fill-ins. Conflict will always be difficult. But the question is, what are you going to do to grow through it? What are you going to do to handle it better than today or yesterday? Where's the growth? Your friendships don't have to die just because there's a conflict. Your life at home doesn't have to be horrible just because there's a conflict. You can work through it. You can apply some of these things. Pause. God will tell you what to do. He'll give you the wisdom on how to get something out of it. It may seem rough, but somewhere it's going to fit. There's no waste in God's economy. He's going to use it. That's just, you know, where we need to sit. Wait on God. The question is, what are we going to do? How are we going to handle it? What can we pull from it? Hopefully, there are a few things on here. I've already told you this message is very simple. I'm convicted in my own heart, my own life, on how I deal with situations. And I hope that God's done something in your heart today as well. Scripture will never return void. If our worship team can come up on that note, you can worship. And some of you can begin worshiping. Others in here, through this entire time, have already been worshiping. The Holy Spirit's the one that's in charge right now, if you didn't know. These scriptures do something because He is in charge. And if they're not doing anything, it's because you're in charge. You need to exit. And like she said, you need a moment to think through these things. And do that. This is a reflective time. Amen, worship team? It's a reflective time. It's an active time. You don't sit back here. God's word has gone out. What are we going to do with it? God bless you.